Now would you like to have your Bibles open at Ecclesiastes and the 11th chapter. I'm going to speak this morning on the 7th and 8th verses, but I think I'll read from the 7th through to the 10th, and then I'm going to also just quickly read it in the New Living Translation, just to shed a little bit of extra light on the passage. So this is Ecclesiastes chapter 11, 7th verse. Light is sweet, and it pleases the eyes to see the sun. However many years anyone may live, let them enjoy them all. But let them remember the days of darkness, for there will be many. Everything to come is meaningless. You who are young, be happy while you are young. And let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see, but know that all these things God will bring you into judgment. So then, banish anxiety from your heart and cast off the troubles of your body, for youth and vigor are meaningless. And I think this has proved very helpful. I've often read a portion of what I was going to preach on from the New English Translation, the NET Bible, and now I'm using this New Living Translation also, which is very helpful. Here is how it is rendered. Light is sweet. How pleasant to see a new day dawning. When people live to be very old, let them rejoice in every day of life. But let them also remember there will be many dark days. Everything still to come is meaningless. Young people, it's wonderful to be young. Enjoy every minute of it. Do everything you want to do. Take it all in. But remember that you must give an account to God for everything you do. So refuse to worry and keep your body healthy. But remember that youth with a whole life before you is meaningless. I remember as a young boy, flat out on my stomach, looking at a particular book. I can see myself right now. I can see the situation. I can remember it vividly. I was reading a book on the life of Rembrandt, the great Dutch artist, and as I read it, I came across a word, and it stopped me because, one, I couldn't pronounce it, and two, I didn't know what it meant. I got no idea what this word meant at all. But I later on came to know what that word means, and especially since I went as a student to Italy. It was the word chiaroscura. And that's the title that we have on the card this morning. I thought to myself, what is this chiaroscura? Well, if Rembrandt needed to master it, even if I don't know what it is or how to pronounce it, I also need to learn to master that. And actually, it stuck with me all of my adult life as an artist. What is chiaroscura? It is setting things out dramatically with a contrast between light and darkness. It makes form appear. It reduces to nothing that which is flat and renders things in three dimensions. And when chiaroscura first appeared in the paintings of people like Leonardo, but not just Leonardo da Vinci, but others, suddenly that which was flat took on a form that people had never seen before, and Rembrandt was one of the great masters of light and dark. Now it will be helpful to you in this message this morning if you can recall this, that chiaroscura removes flatness. It removes flatness and it renders things in their fullest dimension. Now, if you can remember that, you'll have a sense of what Koheleth is teaching in the 7th and 8th verses. Now, in this first section of the text, you look at it in the seventh verse. Light is sweet. It pleases the eyes to see the sun. Oh, yes. This passage is about a life of joy. Look at verse 8. It's explicit. However many years anyone may live, let them enjoy them all. However many years a person may live, let them enjoy them all. This is about joy. This is about the enjoyment of life. And it opens up to me, again, this question, which I think is so very important for everyone to try to get their minds around. Namely, that of the question of the joys of life. And how are we to think about the joys of life? And the reason why I say this is because it is very, very sad indeed. It is very sad for me to tell you that the Christian church seems to be joined at the hip with the lack of joy. Christians are often stigmatized as being puritanical, killjoys. And it is accurate to say that many Christians and many Christian churches have worked very hard to entrench themselves in the image of being puritanical, to show themselves as being untainted by the world. They're going to struggle, these people, with the passage that we've now got in front of us, and they're going to struggle particularly with these texts. Now, I know that I have touched on this before because I think it is so very important. But it requires more treatment. And the young people who are here this morning, the young people who come every week to Trinity Evangelical Church, there is a danger that those young people will grow up in the life of the church. They may not have faith themselves. They may not believe as in Jesus Christ at this moment in time. But they themselves are amongst us week by week. And what if they see that light is sweet, because the Bible, the Word of God, says so, to Christian people, and yet they themselves do not treat life as being sweet. They do not treat light as being sweet. The text says light is sweet. I don't say so. The Bible says so. Now, what if in the life of the Christian people who are in the church, light is no longer sweet to them? What a message do they pass on to the younger generation, to the young people? And it pleases the eyes, is what the text says, to see the sun. However many years anyone may live, let them enjoy them all. This is the Bible, friends. It doesn't matter whether the Puritans banished Christmas. This is what the Bible says. Not that I'm against the Puritans, not for one moment. But if we are not careful, what we will have in the life of the church is a spirit which is so opposed to the true teaching of the Word of God. This passage, I can't force on it what is not there. It's about the enjoyment of life. It's about the enjoyment of life. How could it be that so often young people grew up in the church and thought those people, all they were interested in was telling us what not to do? That life was dull and life was boring. And yet the text says light is sweet. How pleasant a thing. The New Living Translation has got it perfectly. Light is sweet. How pleasant to see a new day dawning. What that says is how pleasant to have a new day of life. How pleasant to have a new day of life. And I can't stress this enough to those who are older amongst us, those who are Christians. How pleasant to have a new day of life. Now, here in Yorkshire, I know very well, and we're right in the middle of it now, in the winter particularly, how little of the sun we see. But you watch the sun come out just for one day, or one part of a day, in the gloom of this last week, and look how people cheer up. It's an absolutely amazing thing. The gloom seems to bring on a gloomy spirit. In other words, we are people affected by the weather. We reflect the weather. How tragic if the church looks like the weather. Koheleth means us to understand for definite A new day of life is here, which from his perspective is God-given. Hey, you've got a new day of life. Thank God for it. Thank God for a new day of life. The light has dawned. The sun has come up. You've got a new day of life. Can I put it like this? It's the joy of simply being alive. When has the church very much taught this? I think very, very little. I'll tell you how pronounced it is. I'm going to say this again in a few moments. It's almost a command in the passage. From God's perspective, to enjoy life. He's given it to you. God has given life to us. What a possibility then for us, as it were, to respond to God who has given so much. And yet for many people, it's just normal, isn't it? With the pressures and the troubles of life and its monotony and its Monday mornings and its apparent meaninglessness, to just be dull, to be lacking joy. Here, I think that the words light is sweet is like this: life. It's great to be alive. That's it. And there will be, I'm absolutely sure of it, there will be those of you here this morning, hopefully you could remember it often, where you said, life, it's great to be alive. It seems like a stupid illustration, this, but look at a butterfly on a summer's day, where it simply sits there and soaks up the sun. And just sits and sits and enjoys the sun. And aren't we all like that when the sun comes out? What does this... Just to stand there and let the sun warm your body. You're not telling me that that's not a delight? And look how the butterfly then flutters away, unbounded by any troubles at all. And yet so often we are burdened and we're weighed down with life's troubles, and that's all that we can see. And Kohelet says, stop and look at the light. That's exactly what he's saying. Light is sweet. Can't you see it? This week, on Friday in fact, I saw a man interviewed on television. He's not the first one. I suppose I have a more heightened sense about these things since what's happened to me in the last 2 or 3 years. But I saw a man interviewed on television with a brain tumour. Just suddenly appeared. And it's been very much in the news this week. So there are those who are just simply going through life. And then one day they find out they have a brain tumour. And this man, like so many others, who has contracted disease, he can tell us a great deal. He said, I live for just one day at a time. I live for just one day at a time. And I thought to myself when I heard him say that, how remarkable it is that it takes someone with disease to show us the vital teaching of Jesus, who says, live one day at a time. How many of us here, without disease, live one day at a time? Hardly any of us. Hardly any. But the man who lives one day at a time, this man, he knows that it may be his last day. And so he's determined to make the most of every day. He's maybe not going to get another. And for him, light is sweet. What is all of this gloominess that you find amongst Christians? As if it's good to have a sour face and not to enjoy anything. And supposedly to be puritanical, whatever that means. to learn to thank God every day for a new day of life surely must be a lesson for every one of us. For myself, I can honestly say that it has almost always been a part of my praying. Thank you, Lord, for a new day of life. How that might change the life of the church. Of course, in the text, the physical sun is the thing. You can actually see it. But surely, all of you know that even if it's hidden behind the clouds, just for a moment, if I've got one little bit of life left, light is still sweet. It surely must be. Of course, the sun makes it that bit sweeter, but I think to be joyful in life starts right here. Here is a new day. Here is a new day. And perhaps the Lord's people, Christian people who are truly committed Christians, could learn something here this morning that they will never forget. Are you elated to be alive? Are you elated to wake to a new day? Not forgetting, of course, as he has told us, that life is utterly meaningless, wisdom is meaningless, toil is meaningless, pleasures are meaningless, all are chasing after the wind. And yet, notwithstanding that, God in his goodness gives the sun, and it is a new day to fill this meaninglessness with something that might become meaningful. For young and old alike, if you haven't yet learned to do it, be thankful for a new day of life and enjoy it. I realize, of course, for a mother, not just a mother, but a father, a family, together in the morning rush, getting children together. There are a number of you with dogs, walking dogs. The crying babies and the commute to work and the labour of the day. It's so easy, isn't it, for all of that to weigh so heavy upon us. And then you get back and you open the letterbox and it's full of bills. It all seems so meaningless and there is so little joy so often. Last week, Henrik and I went to London. And because we often go, we have a card which we can actually pay for the congestion charge. So we have to pay for the horrible congestion charge. So we just have a card. Henrik rings the number, pays it on her card, and that's it done. So off we went to London. She got the congestion charge card out, put it in her purse. And off we went to London, had a great day. Forgot all about the congestion charge. 2 days later, envelope appears. You've been fined. Fined £80. You didn't pay the congestion charge. We just forgot. No, Henneke, you forgot. No, that's just a dreadful joke. But when she told me, I thought about it for a split second, and I thought, I'm not going to let this bother my day. But we could so easily do that, you know. What was £11 became £80. And something like that could just ruin our day. It could blight us. And this is where chiaroscura can help us. Light is needed to keep life from being flat. It gives another dimension. Of course it does. The man with the brain tumour, friends, he can teach us a great deal. Each day could teach us that there is something special that we may yet discover in it. And I think particularly of those people who profess to be Christians, that if their lives are joyless and all they can see is trouble and all they can see is the dark clouds, then what a message that will convey to the young people who grow up in the life of the church. Anyway, Koheleth says, the days of darkness are coming. The days of darkness are coming. And if you read the text, he says they are many. That's when life will be no more. Here is a dead life. Thank God for it. Be joyful. Rejoice. I want to say more about this now, but what a challenge, especially, I think, to a believing Christian church. What a message this is. Now, if you look at the 8th verse, it says, however many years anyone may live, let them enjoy them all. Remember, New Living Translation said, when people live to be very old, let them rejoice in every day of life. Let them enjoy them all. Again, I say to you, this is about enjoyment. I can hear someone in the background, I can hear this, saying, yeah, well, that will mean that they'll turn to excess and that they'll turn to license and they'll turn to an undisciplined life and this will mean the pursuit of greedy pleasure. Immediately they'll see all the negative things. Far from it. Far from it. It is like this. To be alive is good and life is to be savoured. And it is to be savoured with enthusiasm. So again I say to every one of you, are you savouring life and are you savouring it with enthusiasm? And you see why this is particularly relevant? Because it covers those who are getting old, people like me. You know, where the idea is that as you get to my age, you put your slippers on. I've never had a pair of slippers, I'll never have any, although my wife tried to get me a pair this year. I'm not having any slippers, not against them for you, you have them if you like them. But the idea is that here are people who just wind down. But I put it to you that it is about a life that is good. It's good to be alive. And it's a life that is savoured with enthusiasm. Rejoice in every day, however old you are. Let them enjoy every day. Look at the text. Let them enjoy them all. That's the point. And I read it like this. It is almost as if Koheleth, the teacher, gives it as a command. Let them do this. What a pity that we have assumed that as people get older, that life would become boring and dull. A married couple who've been married for years, life becomes boring and dull. Why should it be? I was recently telling someone about an exhibition that Henrik and I saw in Vienna. And the exhibition was about age, and about old age particularly. And there were many, many striking things, paintings and photographs and drawings in that exhibition. But the thing that stuck with me, and I'll never forget it, was a piece of film footage. And I went into this small cubicle, there were a couple of other people there. And the film footage was there was no narration, there was no music. It was just a bit of film footage of an old couple. And they were sat in a waiting area, perhaps in a hospital or in a train station or whatever. And you could see the back of the man, and you could see the front of the woman, and they were just sat there together. And the film just kept going. And all the time that they sat there, you know what they did? They never spoke to each other. Not once. Not once. He looked up as people went past. And she looked up as people went past. But they never spoke to each other. They'd lost the ability to communicate with one another for whatever reason. The sense of the end often looms large and there is often little joy in later life. But Koheleth says it can be different. Let them enjoy them all. And that's why those who are younger here this morning shouldn't dismiss and despise the fact that older people enjoy life, because that's exactly how God would have it to be. Not long ago, I can't remember, maybe a couple of years ago, but I remember my wife chiding me in the garden one summer for climbing a tree. She said, what do you think you're doing? Climbing a tree. My grandchildren seemed to get a lot of fun out of it. Possibilities. And I did. Stop and climb a tree. Now you know who's the sensible one in this marriage, don't you? Yes. But you see, pleasure can come in so many ways. And even as we get older, it's in a glass of wine. Surely that can be enjoyed. I read it to you in chapter 9. Laughter and fun and jokes and banter and all of these things. Football and skiing, if that's what you like to do, or whatever it might be. What possibilities as people get older. For every one of us, there needs to be manifest a spirit of joy in everyday life. And I repeat this, let's not expect older people to settle for a flat life, but let them have the enjoyment of all their days. And those who are younger, my word of advice is do everything to assist those who are getting older, so that includes me, to have the possibility of all their days to enjoy life. How would this transform our modern thinking about older people? I ask you, how would this transform our view of older people? If you read the text, however many years anyone may live, however many years, let them enjoy them all. So let's not be surprised, let's be glad, let's work hard to make sure that the people who are in our lives, our parents. Yes, Josh, Tim, Benj, your parents. Help them to live an enjoyable life. Every day, let's work at it. Let's do everything that we can in the life of the church. Now, there's a driver to this. You can see it in the text. There is a spur. There is something that will power this on. And I want to just draw your attention to it, if I may. In verse 8, the thing which will invigorate life, which will fuel its joy, will be the consciousness of certain death. That's it. You can't get away from it. That's exactly what it says. However many years anyone may live, let them enjoy them all, but let them remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. The thing, if you like, that invigorates life is the consciousness of certain death. And that's why the man with the brain tumour, he has it. He has worked it out. In a positive sense, listen, we may say, eat, drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die. That's it. Exactly. Koheleth wants to fuel the fullness of life. I read recently of those who suggest that this passage is just talking about darkness of days that might come, difficulties. The passage is all about, what did I say at the beginning? It's about chiaroscura, it's about contrast between life and death, between darkness and light. Of course it is. Koheleth wants to fuel the fullness of life, and the days of darkness must come, and they will be many. Enjoy life before death overtakes it. Now, friends, can you see why many people find the joy of life so difficult? Do you know why? Because they don't want to think about death. That's it. Death has been removed from us. People don't even want to talk about the word die. Someone has died. Death, we want to talk about someone passing away. We want the word death to be removed altogether. And so they shut it out. They hate the thought of it. facing up to death, the darkness, the size of it, the length of it, is meant to contrast with the light. That's the point. And I just wonder how few people are willing to even think about death that would give such a glorious, wonderful contrast to the life which we can now live. It's often said, you know, by well-meaning Christians that life is unimportant because of the future of heaven. You will read this. Life is unimportant, this life. They're wrong. They're totally wrong. They're totally wrong. This is rubbish. Koheleth, under the instruction of God, says, life is important. This life that God has given you is so important. And God says, since I've given it to you, be happy. The sun comes up on you today, enjoy it. Enjoy life. Don't just curl up and retire and say, oh, well, there's nothing I can do except drift out of life. And let death, please, let death be a major inspiration to every one of us to make the most of life. Now, my final thoughts, just a few moments. They touch on the question of asceticism, and I have dealt with it before to some extent. I'm going to say more in the weeks to come. The dangerous, very, very dangerous teaching of asceticism amongst evangelical Christians. Do you know, I feel like asking them, do you know its provenance? Do you know where asceticism comes from? It comes from that old dark religion of Roman Catholicism. And yet it is practiced by true believing evangelical Christians. You see, the young people need to be shown what living the Christian life is all about. The young people need to be shown, not theoretical, but real, what living the Christian life is about. And you know what? If you're not careful, they'll think it's just a joyless thing. Of course they will. They'll conclude it's all about the things which I can't do. Yeah, of course they will. Young people, listen to me, it's your piece next week. Right? But I hope you've listened this morning. I want all the young people to know this from me. God's interest is for us to enjoy our days, because he says so. It doesn't matter what 2,000 years of history has said, or what the churches have tried to do to people to kill their joy and so on and so forth. You listen to the text, you listen to the scriptures. And next week I'll show you that it doesn't just mean that you can do anything you like. Because that's what people will be worried about. Oh, you're saying that they can do anything they like. Of course I'm not saying that. Look at the 9th verse. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see. But know that for all these things God will bring you into judgment. So that's the teaching of Scripture for the young people. I don't want anyone to be blighted by a horrible, dark Christian asceticism that would blight their lives, and that the young people might grow up to see it and think that that's what Christianity is about. I don't want that. But it is enough this morning for me to say that Christian living is to be full. Christian living is to be joyful. If you're not joyful as a Christian, you've got to wonder whether you've ever come into the Christian faith. I mean it. Well, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. So, come on, older people who are meant to be a Christian witness. You notice this? Christians will say, oh, you've got to be a good witness in this area. Oh, you've got to be a good witness in that area. Oh, you've got to be a good witness. You've got to make sure that people can see Christ in you in these areas in your life. That's true. What about joy? What about joy? Doesn't that matter? Is that not important? I submit to you that it is absolutely vital. So it is enough this morning for me to say to you, live a full and joyful life. Be those who show that they are enjoying life. Jesus said, I've come that they might have life. Do you notice the Apostle Paul said to Timothy, the life that is truly life? Ah, that's it. That's the Christian life, the life that is truly life. A new life that the Lord Jesus Christ imparts to someone. It is a completely new life in every way. And when God's at the centre, when Christ pulls the strings, our joys will be full. And the chiaroscura effect, flatness will be gone. And the form will stand out. Here is light, and here is darkness. And that's what Koheleth is trying to draw our attentions to. It's wonderful teaching if we'll only just respond to it. God give us the grace to do so and help us all. Have a joyful, happy, rejoicing week, even if the sun doesn't completely shine. God bless his word to us. Amen. Amen.